Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 162. Thou shalt remember that when worst comes to worst, the squad comes first. According to the dictionary, well, like Urban Dictionary, a girl gang is defined as a group of fearless ladies who exude self-confidence and help build their fellow sisters up, not tear them down. And you know what? That sounds pretty accurate to me. When it comes to friends, I honestly don't know how I got so lucky, but I somehow managed to hit the jackpot. My squad have stood by me through breakups, breakdowns, and breakthroughs, and I hate to think where I'd be without them. So this week, I'm welcoming back one of my OGs and a gal who's been in my squad right since the start to talk about how our friendship came about.
Cheers!
That was a really violent clash.
So violent, especially considering the fact that this is not alcohol.
I know.
It doesn't warrant a cheers that loud.
But we're just really encouraging, you know, high energy.
I've set the mood for you today with some Jarrah hot chocolate and a vanilla candle.
So, it's so aromatic in here.
I'm feeling very stressed, so I'm doing anything I can to try and get a little bit more zen.
Yeah. Yep. I feel it. It feels cozy.
It's going to work for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And then the second you leave.
Blow that candle out.
Robert, you brought like 75 strawberry frettos with you, which I'm grateful for. You know,
yeah.
Actually, every time I go to the petrol station, and I'm not even lying, I always buy a fretto for a little snack for the drive home. Either a strawberry one or a mint one.
I knew that you would eat strawberry or mint ones because you like the grossest stuff.
But especially when you freeze the frettos that have the filling in them, it goes really hard. Like, it reminds me of my Cold Rock days.
Okay, I'm going to try that with the caramello.
Is a good one. That is a great idea.
So the story behind the strawberry frettos that I brought is that we got a big box of favourites as a gift. And then there's these two types that we keep like going, why are these in here? And like throwing them to the
side.
Oh, so
they're the ones that you don't want.
I cleared out all the strawberry frettos. There was like 100 of them. And then there's these tiny like two square blocks of dairy milk filled with pineapple fluid.
Yum! Is that over there?
Yeah.
Oh,
on your counter.
God.
You're welcome. It's our discards.
Dinner, come at me. I'm making a... I was going to say fruit salad. I was like, that doesn't work, does it?
Chocolate fruit
salad. I'm eating my feelings tonight. So with that said, what a great friend you are, which is the perfect segue into what I want to talk to you about today.
Love it.
Which is friendship.
Friendship.
And this was actually, I got a really beautiful message on Instagram from somebody a couple of weeks ago asking if I could do an episode on how to make friends as an adult. And I do recognize that I'm very, very lucky when it comes to my friends. And I think I do have a very solid group of friends, but I have multiple groups of friends that I've picked up from multiple different places. And I know that you do as well, because sometimes it can be a bit of a struggle.
I think not everybody has different groups of friends. Sometimes people have just got the one core group or just group, like just single friends that don't all know each other as well.
Which can be awkward when you have like a birthday party you know, eventually an engagement party or a wedding or something. Bringing all those people together is sometimes a bit awful. Awful when you're younger, I think. I found that was horrific, and that's why I stopped having birthday parties past 23, because something horrific happened with two of my groups clashing when I was 23 and I stopped trying to bring them together anymore. But now we're past that. They're friends that you don't want in your life anyway. So I thought we could start with how you and I became friends, because this is a funny one to me, because I can't remember you not being in my life, but neither of us actually remember
meeting. Yeah, I have no idea what happened.
I think the story goes, we were very young. I think we were 18, like fresh out of high school, maybe 17. Even 17.
Yeah.
And one of your school friends got a part-time job with one of my school friends.
Yes.
So they had this part-time job together that they do after working on the weekends.
Yeah.
And I think
after
something
uni,
after
and on
uni
the weekends, we had no work in those
that's
days.
Right. And then something happened and we were all at a party together.
Yeah.
And that must have been how you and I met.
I thought that it was that that part-time job was at a bar, and that at the end of their shift they had like a 30-minute cleanup window where they could drink the alcohol for free, and that you and I and a couple of the other girls freeloaders that would be like getting ready to go out to Fridays or some club we frequented in those days, and we would all end up at this bar drinking for free, and that that's how you and I met, because we were both the girls at the bar.
We were both the freeloaders.
But then but I don't remember that time.
Everyone else dropped off.
I know, and then there was two. But then I also have stolen so many of your friends now.
Which is fine.
Meeting other people through you. Like, I remember meeting Em, who's been on the podcast, and I think, like, I remember noticing her nails, because she had these, like, really kitschy, cool painted nails the first time I met her, and I remember she left, and I was like, Phoebe, like, I've got to be friends with your friend.
Give me that girl's number.
Give me that friend. Yeah, and I just stayed with her last week in Melbourne.
Which is fine.
17 years later.
And I love that for us. So maybe we should just go through a couple of our different groups of friends and talk about how we met them and how we became friends with them.
Yeah.
Because I think you're like me in that I have, I'd say my biggest core is probably the one that you're part of, which is a group of high school friends. Mm. You did not go to our high school, but that's okay.
We just call you someone who
went to our high school. But so obviously meeting in high school. Outside of that, I have a group of gym friends.
Yep.
So this group of gym friends, I think I would highly recommend anybody who is looking to make friends,
mm-hmm.
join a gym. Totally. It sounds so cliche, yeah. But honestly, the people that you meet at the gym, it's like, number one, you have common interests.
Yep.
You both like working out. You both like getting up early. You both like probably being fit and healthy. There's a high chance that you'll probably live in close proximity of whatever mm-hmm. gym that you're joining. And I have become such good friends with my gym friends that I have had, I think, 6 different houses in that period, mm-hmm. a lot of which aren't close, but I still drive the distance every single morning at 6 a.m. to get
such
there.
Such dedication.
Because I'm such good friends with those people.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes it can be a little bit awkward at the start, but one of my actually tips would be, add each other on social media, because that is like an immediate icebreaker. So you can, you know, you see these people day to day, you know, on a surface level, like maybe their name, what they kind of do in the gym, what kind of clothes that they wear. But once you add someone to social media, I feel like you get much more of an insight, and it gives you a lot more openings to start conversations.
But how do you, so do you tell them, oh, can I add you on Instagram?
No, you just do it.
You just find them.
You just find them and add them. Or like, you probably, you know, your gyms have Instagram pages and Facebook pages and things like that. And then you can start, you know, you can start slow. You can just react to their story with like love heart eyes or a fire.
Uh-huh.
And then you can, you know, write back to a story one day. It can be like, yum, if they're out to dinner or something.
Yum. You know? Let's be friends.
But that's, I feel like having social media as an icebreaker.
It's a good idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hadn't thought of that one because I don't have the socials.
That's right. You don't have the socials.
But it's such a good way of like cracking onto people in 100%. A friendly way.
In a friendly way.
Yeah.
I mean, also a dating way. I've had multiple friends meet their partners on Instagram and vice versa. Yeah. But that's a topic for a different day.
Yeah. We're not talking about love. We're talking about friendship.
Friendship.
Yeah, and so now you've got a whole group from the gym.
Yeah.
You guys do heaps of social stuff together.
Heaps of social stuff together.
Yeah.
Go on, like, holidays together, go on lunches together.
So after you add them on the socials, you could be like, oh, that looked like a really nice dinner. Can you recommend anywhere for me to go? Do you want to go for a coffee and talk about our favourite restaurants or something? Like, how do you take it outside the gym?
I mean, you're making it awkward from the get-go. I don't know, with these people, like, and our gyms have, so I go to an F45, so every post 8-week challenge period, they'll do an 8-week challenge party for all members. So you can go have a few drinks, and that again is another icebreaker, going for drinks with people.
Takes it outside of the actual barbell chamber.
Breaking those barriers down.
Yeah, that's good. Mm. I like that. My go-to is I just ask people for their phone number, which actually goes down really well. So, like, I'm the same as you. I've got a couple groups of friends here. But then I feel like I'm always meeting random people and making new little random single friends, single person to single person. Well, not, I don't know how to say that right. not single.
Just like one-on-one friends.
One-on-one friends. Yeah. So like my thing that I've noticed has really made me meet a lot of people is having a dog. Because, yes. You know, we've got Rudy and we love him and we take him everywhere.
If you don't know what Rudy looks like, he is a 10-month-old golden retriever. He weighs 37 kilos.
He's like, he's big boned, guys. Don't worry. I'm definitely not overfeeding him. He's just huge.
I put him on my Instagram actually last week if you want to go check that out.
He's very cute. But I'm like everywhere with him. I take him to wine bars and cafes and dog parks and everything. And I was just walking down the street and I met this girl who also had a golden retriever puppy a couple months ahead of Rudy. And I was like, I don't want to be a weirdo, because we were talking about like the dogs and the development and the training. And it was like this long conversation. And I was like, I don't want to be a weirdo, but can I get your phone number? And then we can meet up in a park and our dogs can play with each other.
And we can have a coffee and keep talking.
Yeah. And we did. We met a couple times.
And she was like super receptive to that.
She was so into it. I mean, dog people are. Like into it.
I love that though. No, my mum has a group of friends because she's got two sausage dogs, and she has a group of friends at the dog park who are there every day at 4 o'clock.
Mm.
It's like those little community groups.
Yeah. It's finding something in common with people. Like when I used to work at a different, like an old work, it just happened to be that like so many of the girls that worked there, we were all early 20s.
I was going to bring this up. So let's talk about your beauty job, because I know that that was a job that you had when you and I met, you were working in that job.
Yep.
And that became such a core group of your girlfriends that you even went overseas for one of their weddings.
Yeah. We all traveled together. Some of us lived together. We did everything together. Cause you just find people that have got like the same interest as you.
And that was they were all through work.
Yeah. All through work. Yeah. And just being open to it too. Like, I think being open to going to the after work drinks and, you know, sharing your life outside of work with people really actually helps to make friends.
100%.
Yeah. I notice that a lot more. Like, now that we're in our 30s, people can be a little bit more guarded. You know, they don't want to share what's going on because life's maybe a bit more complicated than it used to be. It's not so easy as like, well, I live with my parents and I'm trying to get a rental.
Yeah.
It's sometimes a little bit murkier than that. So sometimes it can be a little trickier to crack into people at work now.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with that, because I've noticed that as my jobs have progressed, as I've gotten older, actually, that's a lie. That's a complete lie, because I was going to say one of my points is actually meeting people through work, because I have a very good group of girlfriends from when I worked at Lorna Jane.
Mm.
I went to one of their weddings last weekend. Mm. Another one was visiting from Sydney. Mm. I still see a lot of them quite regularly. I lived with them all at a point of time. We would just do everything together. And I think there's something to be said about the friends that you work with, because you're going through the same things at the same time. Yeah. You're in the same environment. You're seeing them 5 days a week, which is more than you see literally anybody else in your life. If you're working at the same place, again, it's likely that you have common interests. But I think it's finding a way to take the friendship outside of work. And it often takes that little. So my transition advice for that is overshare.
Yes.
Be an oversharer.
Yeah.
Because if you overshare some information about yourself, you're making people feel comfortable, and then maybe they're going to share something back with you, or maybe they're going to reciprocate what you just said with a conversation or, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And you're putting yourself in a bit of a vulnerable position, which helps to kind of feed a friendship as well.
I actually have an example of this, which is where I was going with that. I'm not suggesting that you walk into a new workplace and tell someone that you have something wrong with you.
No, but what are you gonna say?
I just like heard myself back. I was like, worst advice.
Not gonna tell us that, but you are. I'm not gonna tell us.
So what I'm gonna say is, when I started a job about, God, this would have been probably 4 years ago now, on my first day I met this girl called Jane. And Jane has been on this podcast before a couple of seasons back, and on my second day of work, Jane and I had to go to the coast for a work event. And so we had 4 hours in the car together that day, and I'd only met her the day before. So naturally, we were just chatting, and, you know, I've only worked there for 8 hours, so there wasn't a lot of work chat to cover.
Mm.
So we went on to our personal lives, and we were kind of you know, you toe the line trying to see how much you can say in front of someone new. And we found out that we were both in these like hyper toxic relationships that sounded so, so similar.
No way.
And we bonded so fast over that, that she literally moved into my house the following week and we became such good friends.
Yeah.
Basically straight away.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for that car trip and that personal conversation.
Yeah.
Because it made work instantly.
Yeah.
That much better.
Yeah, totally. That's good advice.
Hmm.
The overshare.
Overshare.
The medium share. And then the overshare.
The toe the line share.
Yeah. It's not an undershare. The other thing I know works, because I've had like friends who've moved overseas and then come back, and I've heard that's really hard. I haven't done that myself, but I have heard that's really hard to... Sometimes you don't connect back in with the friends you had, or they all left as well.
Or they might all have moved on and they're in different stages of their life. Yeah. Like I know, for example, if you've come back from overseas and you might be single, but a lot of your friends might be married with children, and then that just puts you... It just puts the friendship in a different dynamic to what it might have been like before.
Yeah, exactly. But I know like there's definitely Facebook groups out there that you can join for like book clubs in your local area. So if you're wanting to go out and do stuff, there's like wine tasting
groups. Did your sister do something like that?
Yeah. Well, she moved back to Melbourne. And so she hadn't lived in Melbourne for years and years, and she's not from Melbourne. So I think she was on some of those kinds of pages just to be like, well, I've never lived in this suburb before. What's going on around here? And that's just nice. Like, different people who are also interested in having a good time.
100%.
Yeah. And so then you find one person in that group, like we found each other, and then you steal all of their friends, like I stole all your friends.
100%.
And then you're set, mate. You're ready.
100%. That brings me to my next point. Getting a partner automatically gives you another whole circle of friends.
Totally. I've got a whole group of friends through my boyfriend, and like we've been dating for 10,000 years, so
literally 10, isn't it?
But they're such good friends. Like, we way overshare with each other pretty early on, and I think that's how you kind of become... we call ourselves the wags.
Yes.
I think not many people think that's funny, but I think it's so funny.
No, but I think that's super cool. And the fact that you guys go on like girls' weekends and always go away together.
We love each other.
That is actual friendship goals.
Yeah.
That all of the girlfriends and all of the boyfriends all get along so well.
It's so lucky.
Oh, it's so lucky. Mm. Because that is, I think that's actually quite rare.
Yeah,
it in this day and age to be able to round up a group that big. Because that's not a small group.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of people. But yeah, you another know, good way to meet
some
people.
Some people sub in and sub out from time to time.
Mm.
But I'm the same. It's a horrifically nerve-wracking experience to meet your partner's group of friends.
Yeah.
And it can be a bit uncomfortable at the start, especially, you know, I'm a freak.
Let that freak flag fly.
Well, I didn't for a while. It's up there. No, it's up now, though.
I think that's the other thing I've definitely heard from girlfriends where, like, they've had a breakup of a long-term relationship. And you can lose most of your friends in that, or like not lose them, but it becomes way harder and more complicated to keep seeing those people and share openly, and you know, when they're still friends with your ex. So that's another reason people kind of...
That was always one of my biggest fears when I was single. One of my biggest fears about being in a relationship was having our whole lives, as in like all of my friends, just becoming friends with him, and then if we broke up, all of the friends would be taken away. I don't know. That's a really irrational thought
to
have.
It is very irrational. That will not happen.
I'm highly stressed right now. Yeah. I'm just thinking worst case scenario.
I think what a lot of people do too, instead of like getting new friends when they get a boyfriend or girlfriend, is they then like let go of a lot of their friendships because their time is all sucked into the relationship.
Yeah.
And that's definitely, I mean, I would never recommend to do that.
Never. Mm. I would not give up my girlfriends for the world.
Neither.
Like, girl time is actually the greatest. You know what my favorite thing to do with, like, you guys is?
Mm.
Get Vietnamese takeaway and have a bottle of wine and sit on your floor.
And we said it
not
so many...
Not watching anything. Not last time we did that, you put a picture of the fire with a crackling noise on the TV.
I know. It was so soothing. but we've said it so many times, like, at those dinners. You can't expect all of your support and, like, everything to come from just one person. It takes a bloody
village.
An army.
Yeah.
Especially people of our emotional capacity.
I know. There's just so much to unpack.
I wonder if I've ever said that on this podcast before, but that is probably the best piece of advice that anyone has ever given me.
Mm.
And I can't even remember who it was who gave me this advice, but they said to me once, you cannot expect to get everything in life from one person. And I think a lot of people unfairly project that onto their partners.
Yeah.
So they expect their partners to be the perfect romantic partner, the perfect housemate, the perfect best friend, the perfect sibling, the perfect, like, everything that you would want in a person.
Yeah.
You project that expectation onto your partner. And when they can't live up to that, because that is completely ridiculous.
Unrealistic.
You lose it and you fight and you resent them and you do this and you do that. But I believe that that's why you have girlfriends, and that's why you have gym friends, and that's why you have work friends, and that's why you have a relationship with your parents and with your siblings and with, you know, everyone serves such a different purpose, and you cannot expect to get everything you need in your life from one person.
That's it. 100%.
I actually think the most interesting place I've ever found a friend, and this is no word of a lie, was on Twitter. Remember when Twitter was like, I mean, I'm sure Twitter is still a big thing now, but it's not, since like Instagram and stuff, it's not as big as it used to be.
Yeah.
But I had a Twitter when I was in uni because I was studying journalism and Twitter was like the newsworthy thing.
Yeah.
And I was following a couple of girls who lived in Brisbane, and we all, this is so tragic, we all had blogs, and I mean actual blogs. Like, remember website blogs? And we all found each other and we'd like comment on each other's things and just like support each other. And I went on a holiday to America, and this is before Sephora was in Australia.
Mm.
And she reached out to me and asked me if I could buy her a couple of products when I was over there. And I did. And when I came back, we met up for a coffee and I gave her the products, and we had, I think we had had breakfast and then we had drinks or something. And then we were friends for a while.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it's like being open.
Yeah.
To humans, I think, because that is that could come off as a strange request. If someone off the internet asks you to buy them something when you're overseas, you could question that.
And this was before Sephora was ever in Australia, and online shopping was not really a thing for overseas companies. The weirdest place I've ever made a friend was when I worked in a beauty salon. We were, like, all the girls were at work that day, and we were going to someone's house that night for a bit of a drinking session. And one of the girls came out of her last treatment for the day and was like, I've invited the client to join us at this, at like one of the girls' houses.
Isn't that like a cardinal salon?
We were all like, what have you done? You are so out of line. But she was like, no, she just moved to Australia from overseas. Aww. And this girl had also come from overseas. So she was like, I was just having this big D&M with her in the room. I completely relate to where she's at. She's got no friends here. We have to save this girl. And we were friends with her for ages until she left Australia. That's for years.
So cool.
Yeah.
That, see, God bless girls.
I know.
They get it, don't they?
Yeah.
They really get it.
And you're right. Just being open to it, you'll find someone else who's open to it, and then you'll have a heap of friends.
Even when my sister moved to Amsterdam with her fiancé, a listener of this podcast who lives in Amsterdam reached out to me via Instagram and said, I'm going to add your sister to Instagram and take her out for a coffee when she gets here so that she has someone that she knows in the city. And I...
That's so nice.
Honestly... my podcast work is done. The fact that that happened was one of the most touching moments of my whole life. And I wasn't even really involved. You know what I mean? It's just like the power of the people.
Yeah. We haven't even gotten into, I was going to say a whole thing about mothers groups. Because I've heard that is like an amazing way to connect with people who, you know, are going through what you're going through. Like we were saying with the work thing.
Yes. Everyone says that. I think every new mother that I have spoken to since I started showing an interest in asking motherly questions.
Yes.
Have said the best thing they ever did was join a mother's group. That's because even people who have kids, apparently, after your kid is in the new leap, you kind of blank out and forget what it's like to go through the stage they were in before. But when you join a mother's group, it's like everyone's in the exact same phase and the exact same leap at the same time.
Yeah.
You're on the same schedules.
Yeah.
You want to do the same things.
Yeah.
Which I've heard is a real game changer.
Even like... friends I've got who are in their mid-40s now and their kids are, you know, 10, 11, 12, even older, are still friends with all of the mother's group friends. Even my mum is friends with two women from her mother's group, and that was 30-something years ago.
Oh, my God.
And they've got photos of themselves at, like, Lamas class or whatever it was.
That is the cutest.
Hilarious.
Actually, I went to visit my mum last weekend, and she was going on a little holiday to Stradbroke Island with our old next-door neighbour.
Oh,
and they're
neighbors.
Still friends. Neighbours.
A whole other thing.
Hello?
Hello through the wall.
No, yeah, when the neighbours here are weird. I do
when
not
I
want
was
to
renting, we used to be really tight with our neighbours. Yeah, we would invite them to all our house parties.
Mm. Mm. Actually, remember when I used to live next door to Carla?
Yes!
And we had these two houses full of... I lived with a big bunch of boys and she lived with a big bunch of girls and we used to always just have combined parties.
That was awesome.
That was so fun. Yeah, neighbours. God, there are so many ways to make friends.
Yeah, there really is a lot. And I mean, we're making it sound easy. It's obviously not that easy.
No.
But persistence.
And I think that people just need to let go of that fear of being judged. Because if someone judges you, fuck them. You do not want to be friends with them.
Yeah.
And I say that hand over heart. I know that's easier said than done because it is still a very nerve-wracking thing. But let's get to the advice.
Look, if someone doesn't want to be friends with you, that's on them. It's not a reflection on you. You go try and be friends with somebody else. The end.
And mine is, slide into their DMs.
Mm.
It's not a seedy thing. It's a testing the waters thing, and it's a really simple icebreaker.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, chin chin.
Less aggressive.
That was lame.
Hard.